Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being with us on America Back on Track. And we will be back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission. Mary Knoll.
Before past the hour, in time for Seat Notes. Our embargo against Cuba has always been absurd. It stems from the time-honored Cold War idiocy that says that every government that is socialist or communist must be our enemy. We couldn't distinguish among the Soviet or the Polish or the Chinese administrations. We couldn't see the difference between the westernized Tito and the murderous Ceausescu. Castro has led his country perhaps longer than any head of state in the world today. For all the ills we might ascribe to his regime, he's gotten some things right, like having the healthiest children in the hemisphere. Castro took power by ousting the brutal and corrupt Batista regime in 1958. A weakened Eisenhower succumbed to the red-baiting policies of the time. He was followed by Kennedy's disastrous ventures with the anti-Castro forces. Bay of Pigs was aptly named. Then came Nixon, who, it was said, opened up the Soviet Union and China, which doors he'd kept shut all his professional life. Tricky Dick might have opened up Cuba, too, but he didn't. Carter was simply overwhelmed the whole time. Reagan was fighting the evil empire. Poppy Bush was busy with Kuwait and Iraq. Slick Willie squandered myriad opportunities, including restoring relations with Cuba, preoccupied as he was with his predatory skirt chasing. And then came the Bush boy, and in the habit of getting everything wrong, he squashed the meager attempts to open the Cuban markets to U.S. agricultural interests. Money being more important than politics, those ag interests are trying to roll back a Bush administration requirement instituted a couple of years ago that Cuba had to pay for American goods through third-party nations. If the rule is repealed, it could significantly increase American trade with Cuba and concomitantly reduce tensions, making it easier for America to be an ally in the coming Cuban transition rather than an impediment. It's too bad we haven't been smarter about Cuba. Had we normalized relations with them 20 or 30 years ago, we wouldn't have wasted tens of millions of dollars trying to undermine the Castro government. We would have pocketed instead hundreds of billions of dollars in trade benefits. And perhaps most important, many of the virulent anti-communists who moved to Miami would have moved back to Cuba. Instead, it was that relocation of fanatically bitter dissidents that produced conservative control, political control in Florida, resulting in tragic mismanagement of the state affairs in numerous cases, and the Bush victories in the last two presidential elections. So in a very real, very tragic sense, at least as far as what's happened to America, Castro's won. It didn't have to be that way. Castro has been sending signals to our government for decades, literally, offering to step down if the U.S. would make some gestures in his direction. But he has always been rebuffed. Our policy toward Cuba is a disgrace and stupid from every angle. Someday we'll elect true leaders and the embarrassment will begin to wane. And that's Eat Notes for October the 10th. Thanks very much to John Dean, author of Broken Government, and to Carlin Sloan, author of Smarter, Faster, Better, How to Be Good Leaders. Come back tomorrow at noon, every weekday at noon here, Pacific Time, on the Quality News Network for more of America Back on Track. Thank you for being with us today. I'm Tony Seaton.
Hueyhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking.
So what do you look for when you decide where you're going to put all your millions?
Well, I haven't printed up enough to put it in the bank yet, but I guess for convenience, and pretty much it's like a grocery market. You get to meet the people there, and you build a little rapport with some of them.
You know, it's a local bank, but it's part of a network of local banks that give you big bank services.
Everything that I need as far as banking is concerned, they have it. Online banking is great for me. So I just like the services that they offer.
You ever taken your dog Cindy to the bank?
As a matter of fact, when I went to open my account, she was with me.
Ah!
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a horse come through one of these days. We've got a lot of cowboys come in and out of here, too.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank. Hueyhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking.
So what do you look for when you decide where you're going to put all your millions?
Well, I haven't printed up enough to put it in the bank yet, but I guess for convenience, and pretty much it's like a grocery market. You get to meet the people there, and you build a little rapport with some of them.
You know, it's a local bank, but it's part of a network of local banks that give you big bank services.
Everything that I need as far as banking is concerned, they have it. Online banking is great for me. So I just like the services that they offer.
You ever taken your dog Cindy to the bank?
As a matter of fact, when I went to open my account, she was with me.
Ah!
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a horse come through one of these days. We've got a lot of cowboys coming in and out of here, too.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
You're listening to KRML, 1410 AM, Carmel, California. The news from the Quality News Network is next.
This is the Quality News Network. The multinational force in Iraq will be down to 7,000 troops, excluding American forces. That is down from the once 50,000-member large coalition. U.S. forces in Iraq are at a peak surge high of 168,000 troops currently. President Bush wants to give telecommunications companies immunity in the new eavesdropping law. The legislation would allow the National Security Agency to listen in to phone conversations without warrants. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas wants a future independent state to have pre-1967 borders. He is also calling for a complete Israeli withdrawal from the territories it captured four decades ago. The demands come in preparation for a U.S.-hosted Middle East peace conference next month. In Pakistan, as many as 250 people have been killed in recent fighting near the Afghan border. The Pakistani army halted attacks today so that local residents could attend funerals. The Quality News Network. President Bush wants to give telecommunications companies immunity in the new eavesdropping law. The legislation would allow the National Security Agency to listen in to phone conversations without warrants. The multinational force in Iraq will be down to 7,000 troops, excluding American forces. That is down from the once 50,000-member large coalition. U.S. forces in Iraq are at a peak surge high of 168,000 forces currently. In Pakistan, as many as 250 people have been killed in recent fighting near the Afghan border. The Pakistani army halted attacks today so that local residents could attend funerals. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas wants a future independent state to have pre-1967 borders. He is also calling for a complete Israeli withdrawal from the territories it captured four decades ago. The demands come in preparation for a U.S.-hosted Middle East peace conference next month.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! For good or ill, someday we will be doing video here, and you'll get to see the spit take that I just did. Honest to Pete, I guess it's my fault for not noticing that the QNN Top of the Hour news downloaded a little quick-like, but honest, yeah, there I am with a mouthful of Cheez-Its, you know, a little snack before the show. Yeah, I know, processed foods, Bob, you need to be eating the raw broccoli. I know. But, you know, just sitting there snacking, and all of a sudden I hear my intro music going because, you know, the QNN news was 45 seconds long. And I was trying to get a mouthful of Cheez-Its because, you know what, you cannot broadcast with a mouthful of crackers. You just can't. You can't whistle, and you can't broadcast. Now, I know we've had several occasions where we've heard the filthy, vile pig that SOB Flush Flimball with a mouthful of whatever, you know, snorfling at the trough. My friends, well, I try not to do that. But, you know, it's just the hazard of being a professional internet broadcaster that, you know, when the intro runs, you got to do the show, sunshine. You know, the show must go on. Curtains up. Start talking. So that's what that was. Jesus, I hope the news is more than 25 seconds long next hour. I don't mind filibobstering for three solid hours, but, you know, I like getting a little break. I'm sure it was just some errant recording error there at Quality News Network Central. You'll have that sometimes. These things happen. So, you know, deal with it. Meanwhile, you know, where do we go this evening? Oh, well, I think Mark mentioned one. Yeah, he did at the top of the show. He mentioned one particular story that, Lord God, Billy Bob. I mean, some of this stuff you just can't make up. I mean, honestly. You know the story I'm talking about, the pastor of the Thorington Road Baptist Church, sent along to me by, among other things, our good friend Jay out in Arizona,
and Gene, our news ninja, caught it as well. Apparently the story dates back to June of 2007. June of this year, late June. Oddly enough, I think, well, never mind. That's just too much detail. But the pastor of the Thorington Road Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, because, well, I mean, you know why we're leading with a story like this, right? I mean, you know, after all, you know, it's Wednesday.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Darn straight, it's prayer meeting, you know that. And so we have to start off with a story of the religious right wing. And that story, of course, is the story of the Reverend Gary Aldridge, graduate of the Liberty University, Liberty University, where they were perfecting the concept of education according to the strictures laid down by the Reverend Jerry Falwell, who said he looked to the day when the government was out of the education business and education would be back in the hands of religion where it belonged. Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Put your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the spirit flowing through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. So the guy graduated from Falwell University, the so-called Liberty University, the Reverend Gary Aldridge. He worked for Liberty University for a while. He was an associate of Jerry Falwell's. And back last late June, he was found stone dead at his home in Montgomery. And the circumstances were less than, never mind what they were less than. They were, in fact, salacious. Because the Reverend Gary Aldridge was a great proponent of traditional family values. Hallelujah, praise Jesus, traditional family values. He opposed gay marriage. Huh? Believed it was a sickness. And he was found by himself. Well, you know, let's not trust me to do this. Let's use the words instead of the medical examiner there in Alabama, in Montgomery, Alabama. Evidence of injury, page 2, name, Gary Michael Aldridge. The decedent is clothed in a diving wetsuit, a face mask which has a single vent for breathing, a rubberized head mask having an opening for the mouth and the eyes, a second rubberized suit with suspenders, rubberized male underwear, hands and feet have diving gloves and slippers. There are numerous straps and cords restraining the decedent. There is a leather belt about the midriff. There is a series of ligatures extending from the hands to the feet. The hands are bound behind the back. The feet are tied to the hands. There are nylon ligatures holding these in place with leather straps about the wrists and ankles. You getting the picture? There are plastic cords also tied about the hands and feet with a single plastic cord extending up to the head and surrounding the lower neck. Around these parts here in the hills, we call that hog tied. And the final word, there is a dildo in the anus covered with a condom. The Right Reverend Gary Michael Aldridge. I don't guess you'd say he was caught with his pants down. His pants were up, with things inside them. Now, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is, where in the sweet name of God did he get a dildo, seeing as how they're not legal for purchase in the state of Alabama? Now it all makes so much more sense why Alabama would have a ban on the sale of sex toys. Because if they're legally available in Alabama, all the Baptist ministers will start dropping dead. Imagine that. How many times did the Reverend Gary Aldridge have a meeting, a staff meeting, no, don't say staff, Bob, with Reverend Falwell, while at the same time, back in some little dark and dim and severely, sadly repressed corner of his mind, he was dreaming of the fun that he could have with his rubber clothing. Cause of death, autoerotic asphyxiation. One of the sadder parts of this, you know, very... When you see an autopsy report, they're very sterile, I suppose you would say. And in that sort of sheer sterility, the sort of Joe Friday, just the facts, ma'am, approach of an autopsy report, lies heartbreak. Clothing, personal effects. The decedent was received wearing two wetsuits, one scuba diving mask, one pair of diving gloves, one pair of slippers, one pair of rubber underwear, two ties, five belts, 11 straps. Personal effects, one yellow metal ring intact on left ring finger, one dildo. And in that almost haiku-like statement is all the heartbreak in the world. At the time of this event, his wife and child were visiting a sick relative in North Carolina. And they had left Reverend Aldridge alone, and Reverend Aldridge knew that he was going to be alone, and since he knew there was no chance of being caught, he engaged his libido in the activity that he had been taught from time immemorial was dirty, Gary, dirty. That's a dirty thing you're doing, Gary. Don't ever let me catch you doing that again, Gary. Dirty, dirty, dirty. Dirty boy, dirty. You dirty, nasty boy. You don't put anything there. You filthy, filthy, ungodly boy! Don't you know Jesus is watching you? And for once, he thought maybe Jesus wasn't watching. For once, he thought he could finally have the sexual release that he so desperately craved, because from time immemorial it had been driven into him that his own body was dirty, Gary, dirty. You dirty thing, you nasty thing, you filthy thing, Satan makes you want to do that. This is the sickness of the right wing. This is the sadness of the right wing. This is the tragedy of the right wing. Down in Gulf Breeze, Florida, three kids and a wife are still scratching their heads and questioning their own very existence, and the man that they thought they loved, who was their father, who turned out to be a right-wing authoritarian federal prosecutor, law and order man, arrested coming off a plane in Michigan with a dolly and a tube of Vaseline intended for his sexual encounter with a 5-year-old girl. He's dead now. He's committed suicide. In Montgomery, Alabama, now this happened in June, for some reason or another, it's just now breaking. It's just now hitting the media. The good people of Montgomery have done everything in their power to keep this under the radar. We don't air our dirty laundry or our dirty wetsuits in public, mind you. In Montgomery, Alabama, a woman and her child wonder now about Daddy. Did Daddy love Jesus like he said he did? How can you love Jesus when you put one of those there? Why did Daddy have to choke himself to achieve sexual release? Why was Daddy doing dirty things, Mommy? Well, it was because the devil got him, honey. Does that mean Daddy's in hell, Mommy? I don't know, honey. We're Baptists. We believe once saved, always saved. So as long as he had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it didn't matter what he put where he put it, or what he was wearing while he did. Daddy didn't really mean to commit suicide. Daddy was just trying to get off. In the immortal words of the Wicked Witch of the West, what a world, what a world, what a world. Terribly easy to have a lot of fun with a story like this. And you know what? The right-wing religion industry earns it every day, telling us how we should live, defining in us what is dirty. Telling two men who love each other dearly and have never worn a wetsuit that they can't have a warm, loving, and lasting relationship, while at the same time their very own die terrified and alone with things somewhere, in a state where you can't buy those things and you have to secretly order them online. God Almighty, can you only imagine what this man's computer looks like? Bet they never got around to looking at that. Because no matter what the fundies say, and there's a website out there dedicated to, it's a message board dedicated to, like, I guess, alumni of Liberty University. He was murdered! I believe he was murdered. Murdered. Of course, the autopsy report says he was no foul play. Murdered. He wouldn't do that to himself. Why am I doing Bill Clinton? He was murdered. Nah, Sunshine, I'm sorry. He was really, really not murdered. He was accidentally killed. Oh, God. Oh, God. And, well, let's see here. A few other things about the autopsy report that probably bear notice, or bear at least a bit of attention. It was largely unremarkable. The prostate gland displays areas of focal hemorrhage on its posterior surface. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. But, you know, this is what the right-wing fundamentalism industry can expect. The body is that of a white male consistent with the given age of 41 years. Another story I read said he was 51. The front cover says he's 51 years. It's easy, you know, it's very easy to point it. Well, you know, I remember the hell that I took for doing the story about the Baptist minister who, like a moron, climbed into the baptistry in his church and electrocuted himself with his wireless mic. Bob, you're insensitive. Those people are suffering. Yes, they are. But it's also fair to ask about the other people that these have helped suffer. How many people did Gary Aldridge make suffer declaring that he understood the intent and the desires of Almighty God and that being gay was a sin or being transgendered was a sin or being an atheist was a sin? Remember, these people don't draw the line at sex. They're ready to sit and ready and willing to sit in judgment of you, no matter who you are and no matter what it is you do, these people are ready to sit in judgment of you. I grew up with it, and it stings to this day. My father despised the right-wing religion industry, despised fundamentalism, despised fundamentalists. And yet, at his funeral, I had to listen to someone ask, "Did he know my Jesus?" And I'm still pissed off. And I'll stay that way. Thank you very much. I intend to stay that way. So that's where we start. God knows it's not where we finish. God knows there's plenty more to do, plenty more to talk about. Jewish people? People of the Jewish faith? Belief system? Ethnicity? You're imperfect. Yes, you are. You certainly are. You are imperfect. How do I know? Ann Coulter told me so. No kidding. I don't like giving this hateful thing free publicity. But, you know, she, for some reason or another, she's back up out of the crypt. And she is making declarations on places like Fox. And understand, these words like these that you are about to hear are the kinds of words that, for all intents and purposes, are the foundations of ovens. Really. Seriously. Here we go. She was on CNBC's The Big Idea with Danny Deutsch, the host. It was October 8th. It was 2 days ago. Why CNBC would want this vile Herodon on, I don't know. And Donnie Deutsch asks her a question about her perfect world. Check it out. Okay, where's the audio? Dadgummit. Am I doing this wrong? No. We're going to make this happen yet. Sorry. You know, this is what happens when you don't have a producer. Not that I'm gooning on Agnes or anything. Oh, now I've got the little hourglass. Next thing I know, this thing will reset itself. So, the question is put to her. Oh, for pity's sake. I'm sorry, this just chaps my butt. The question was put to her, if you had your way and your dreams, which are genuine, why would you say that, which are genuine, came true, what would this country look like? What would this country look like? And Ann Coulter shoots back.
Having to do with immigration,
there
having to do with women's, with abortion. I mean, what would this country look like?
It would look like...
See, it takes her a while because this is all calculated. This is shtick. She has to make sure that she's going to say the most outrageous thing she possibly can. And she does.
Like New York City during the Republican National Convention. In fact, that's what I think heaven's going to look like.
And what did that look like?
Happy, joyful Republicans in the greatest city in the world.
No, but are you, I'm talking about this country. You don't want to make this country... It's not about Republicans. I'm saying, what would the fabric of this country look like? Forget that the Republicans would...
Well, everyone would root for America. The Democratic Party would look like Joe Lieberman. The Republican Party would look like Duncan Hunter.
No, I don't want to... I'm not talking about politically the landscape. What would our... Would we be safer? Would people be happier?
We'd be a lot safer.
Would there be more tolerance? Would there be... would women be happier? Would the races get along better? The Ann Coulter subscription. Prescription. What? Tell me what would be different in our fabric of country.
Well, all of those
I could give an argument that there would be more divisiveness, that there would be more hate. There would be, a bigger difference between the rich and the poor, a lot of other... Tell me why would this be a better world? I'm going to give you, this is your show.
Okay, take the Republican National Convention. And people were happy, they're Christian, they're tolerant, they defend America.
How about that? There are no Jewish Republicans. None. Zero. They're happy, they're Christian, they're tolerant. There are no agnostic Republicans. There are no Muslim Republicans. There are no Buddhist, Jainist, Hindu Republicans. No Sikh Republicans. They're happy, they're tolerant, and they're tolerant because there's nothing but them.
Could they?
Christian, so we should be Christian? Would it be better if we were all Christian?
Yes.
We should all be Christian.
Yes. Would you like to come to church with me, Donnie?
So I should not be a Jew, I should be a Christian, and this would be a better
place. Well, you could be a practicing Jew, but you're not.
Okay, I actually am. That's not true. I really am. But so we would be better if we were, if people were no Jews,
well,
no Buddhists.
Well, whenever I'm harangued by...
That's, you can't believe that.
You know, liberals on diversity. No, it's true. I give all these speeches at mega churches across America, and the one thing that's really striking about it is how utterly completely diverse they are, and completely unselfconsciously. I mean, you walk past a mixed-race couple in New York, and it's like they have a chip on their shoulder, just waiting for somebody to say something, as if anybody
that.
Would.
I don't agree.
What? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Have I just gone up... Agnes, did you put them? Those weren't ordinary mushrooms on the spaghetti sauce, were they, Agnes? What? I give all these speeches to all these mega churches. Mega churches? Followers of Christ Jesus are paying Ann Coulter? Well, I'm not surprised. You know, I came to the parting of the ways with the Southern Baptist Church when my so-called home church in Alabama gave $20,000 to Oliver North to come and witness to him.
And
maybe you have the chip looking at them. I don't. I see a lot of interracial couples, and I don't see any more or less chips there either way.
No, there was an entire Seinfeld episode about Elaine and her boyfriend dating because they wanted to be a mixed race couple. So you're lying.
You're lying.
To the Seinfeld episode. Okay.
But yeah, I think that's reflective of what's going on in the culture. But it is completely striking that at these huge mega churches,
wait a minute. Just a darn minute. Her view of the reality of New York City is defined and predicated upon an episode of Seinfeld? Huh? Marbled rye bread and stopping short and, golf balls stuck in the blowholes of whales and all the ridiculous, loopy, loony stuff that went on that arguably funny show. I know people that hate it still.
I actually am. That's not true. I really am. But so we would be better if people were no Jews,
well,
no Buddhists.
Well, whenever I'm harangued by
that's, you can't believe that,
you know, liberals on diversity. No, it's true. I give all these speeches at mega churches across America, and the one thing that's really striking about it is how utterly, completely diverse they are, and completely unselfconsciously. I mean, you walk past a mixed race.
They're utterly and completely diverse and unselfconscious about it. I mean, there's a white couple and a white couple over there, a white and a white, and there's another white couple over there, and there's a white couple over here. They're just so white and so tolerant of each other being white.
Couple in New York, and it's like they have a chip on their shoulder, just waiting for somebody to say something, as if anybody
that.
Would.
I don't agree with that. Really.
And
maybe you have the chip looking at them. I don't. I see a lot of interracial couples, and I don't see any more or less chips there either way.
No. There was an entire Seinfeld episode about Elaine and her boyfriend dating because they wanted to be a mixed race couple. So you're lying.
How does she get away with that? Just looking at the host across the table and calling him a liar? You know, I think I've just figured out why there are no major media empires in the state of West Virginia, because we're one of the last few states that still has an anti-dueling statute on the book that defines something as fighting words. And that statute says, you know, because dueling all started because you had to slap somebody in the face with the glove, and then you went out with the swords or the pistols and 20 paces and Bugs Bunny and standing by 1, 2, 3, you know, and never marches and turns around and blows away Elmer Fudd. But it says that there are some words out there that are so vile and so hateful that the use of them in otherwise civilized discourse is the equivalent of slapping somebody in the face or a physical blow. And that after they have said them, you can use the fighting word statute as a defense. And you can say, well, you know, they said that, fill in the blanks. And you can punch their lights out and use fighting words as a defense. I think it's still on the books here. And that's why we don't have any major media empires in West Virginia. Because if that was taking place in West Virginia, and you're lying, you could reach across the table and just slap the snot out of her. And it would be over once and for all. She called, and she, I want him arrested. And, you know, you'd have the Trump. She called me a liar on national TV right here in West Virginia, and I reached across and I punched her face in. You know, it's an affirmative defense, and the judge would have to go, boom, you're free to go.
So, okay.
But, you know, I think that's reflective of what's going on in the culture, but it is completely striking that at these huge mega churches, the idea that, you know, the more Christian you are, the less tolerant you would be.
No, it is not, but you said we should just throw Judaism away and we should all be Christians then. Or,
yeah.
Really?
Well, it's a lot easier. So it's kind of a fast track.
Just throw Judaism away and all be Christians. Now, I don't care what you believe. And there's a bunch of malarkey in Judaism. There's a bunch of malarkey in Christianity. There's malarkey in Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, Shintoism, Confucianism, Hinduism, the Native American religions. There's a lot of malarkey in it. There's a lot of malarkey in the Druidism or the ancient Scandinavian isms. Malarkey, malarkey, malarkey. It's all religion. You know, religion is by definition got a lot of magical malarkey in it. You know, stuff that just ain't so, but we'll believe it in our own little minds and pretend that it is. But I don't care what people believe. But when she reaches across, says, well, yeah, basically, you should just get rid of Judaism, and, you know, it's a fast track. Oh, Lord, so were the ovens, Anne, so were the ovens. It's a fast track to paradise. That's what it was. They were just, the Nazis weren't killing 6 million Jews. They were sending 6 million Jews to heaven. That's right.
Really?
You have to obey.
You can't possibly believe that. You can't possibly. You're too educated. You can't. Are you? You're like my friend.
You know what Christianity is. We believe your religion, but you have to obey.
No. But
we have the fast track program.
Sure.
you have to obey? Who is her minister? It's been reported that she attends some Presbyterian church in New York City. Now, we've had a perfectly sane Presbyterian minister on this program, and I don't think he would endorse that. No.
Well, put you with the head of Iran. I mean, come on, you can't believe that.
The head of Iran is not a Christian.
No, but in fact, that's why Israel left the earth. I mean, what, no Jews?
No, we think we just want Jews to be perfected as they.
Won't really save you?
Yeah, no, that's what Christianity is. We believe the Old Testament, but ours is more like Federal Express. You have to obey laws.
In my old,
we
my
know
old
we're
days,
all sinners.
When you say something absurd like that, there's no.
What's absurd?
Jews are going to be perfected. I'm going to go up and try and perfect myself.
Well,
Ann Coulter, author.
So Jews are perfected when they become Christians. Now, that runs in direct conflict with that bumper sticker that I see on a lot of fundamentalist cars, you know, the one with the Jesus fish, that has a bumper sticker that says, not perfect, just forgiven. We want the Jews to be perfected. Well, therefore, if the Jews are perfected by becoming Christian, Christians are perfect, right?
If Democrats had any brains, they'd be Republicans, and if Ann Coulter had any brains, she would not say Jews need to be perfected. I'm offended by that personally. And we'll have more Big Idea when we come back.
Welcome back to the Big Idea. Break. Ann said she wants to explain her last comment, so I'm going to give her a chance. So you don't think that was offensive?
Why? Why let her explain her comment? Her comment stands. She meant to say it. She sits there and she takes long pauses before she says things, for the love of God. And you let her weasel out? You're going to let her explain what she meant? No, you go to break, you throw her scrawny ass off the set, and you come back, and if you have to, you run the big test pattern picture with the Indian chief at the top, and the tone that goes, boop, if you can't ad-lib, Donnie. Surely to God you can ad-lib a little bit. You can ad-lib for until the next segment comes up. God, this show's called The Big Idea? Who had the big idea of letting Ann Coulter on the program? Who called Donnie Schechter and said, Donnie Deutsch. Who called Donnie Deutsch and said, you know, here, I got a big idea. You're going to have Ann Coulter on the program. And he went, oh, cool. They have her on there to say this crap. And then they have the gall to sit there and act offended. Ann Coulter's an oven tender. Doesn't matter who she's putting in it, liberals, Democrats, Muslims, Jews, anybody except Lily White and Christian. Wonder what she'd think of the Reverend Gary Aldridge. Wonder if he was perfected. He had the fast track, all right. Let's see. You know, but this is the woman who said that, you know, the war on Iraq wasn't enough for her. That she wanted us to go and capture Muslim leaders, capture and kill the Muslim leaders and convert all the Muslims to Christianity. You know, arguably at the point of a gun. And she got dumped from a couple of places for that one and played herself up to the martyr as usual.
No, I'm sorry. It is not intended to be. I don't think you should take it that way. But
oh, I don't think you should take it that way. It's your fault, Donnie. Love it when they apologize.
But that is what Christians consider themselves, perfected Jews. We believe the Old Testament. As you know from the Old Testament, God was constantly getting fed up with humans for not being able to...
Huh? Christians? I don't know. Go get her the lace dress and the House of Whoville hat, because I think she just elevated herself to Popette. She's speaking for Christians now. Christians consider themselves to be perfected Jews. Anne, honey, there ain't no Jewish in you. But she's a perfected Jew. I guess she's a member of Christians United for Israel while we're at it. I mean, of course she is. Because that's where this crap comes from. This perfected Jew business and the bumper sticker that says, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. It's a way of self-redefinition that allows them to escape having to deal with what they really are. Sadducees, Pharisees, oh wait, no, that's probably the wrong analogy too. Hypocrites!
You know, live up to all of the laws. What Christians believe, this is just a statement of what the New Testament is that that's why Christ came and died for our sins. Christians believe the Old Testament. You don't believe our Testament.
You said your exact words were, Jews need to be perfected. Those are the words
I'm
mouth.
Saying that's what
Christian is. Don't you see how hateful and anti-Semitic?
No.
How do you not see? You're an educated woman.
That isn't hateful at all.
Okay, but that's even a scarier thought. Okay.
That's not hateful at all. That's an even scarier thought. So when will mainstream media start ignoring this piece of trash, Ann Coulter? And yeah, you can chart, I'm guilty as charged because I'm sitting here running the audio of it. But I know that you're not out there watching CNBC, and I know that you're not going to be motivated to go and buy an Ann Coulter book. This is by way of example. Because we're rather sheltered, I think. I mean, I joked the other night about the sheltered existence that I lead. But we are sheltered. We are good and decent, kind and loving people who gather here at the Horn for dialogue, discussion, conversation. And we are largely like-minded. And we are amazed and astonished and confused by the hatred and vitriol of the right wing that is out there. And we forget that this exists. How many hundreds of thousands, how many millions of people saw that? How many of them were fundamentalists who said, that's right, Ann, we as perfected Jews. Have a Nagler. Wouldn't know the first thing about bitter herbs at a Passover Seder. No idea what happens on Chanukah. But they're perfected Jews. Don't even know what year it is in the Jewish calendar, but they're perfected Jews. Don't know when the Jewish New Year happens, but they're perfected Jews. Don't understand the least little bit about the atonement that takes place on Yom Kippur, but they're perfected Jews. Couldn't make a matzah ball if their lives depended on it, but they're perfected Jews. Believe in international Jewish banking conspiracies, but they're perfected Jews. Makes my little tiny pointed noggin ache. It really, really does. Let's go to the phones. Kevin joins us from D.C. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing again? Ann Coulter is a hypocrite, like you said. She hates everything that New York, and as a New Yorker, because you could take the guy out of New York, but you can't take the New York out of a guy.
Oh, yeah.
She is everything that, she's against everything that New York stands for. You know, life may not be perfect, but we're here in it together. We live together, we tolerate, we may not like each other, but, you know, we respect everyone's right to exist for the most part.
And including Ann Coulter, because she lives in New York City.
Yeah, she lives in probably the two most liberal parts of the country, New York and South Florida, Miami.
Yeah.
That's New York South. And I just don't get it, you know, it's like, and in both cases, she's surrounded by Jewish people.
Imperfect ones, Kevin.
Oh, so Christ is imperfect, too.
Well, you know, he wasn't a Christian.
Yeah, well, hey, you know.
I know. It makes the heads. But, you know, no, I'm so glad you can talk about things like this, Kevin, because I confess my woeful ignorance. My knowledge of New York City is confined to a bus ride between JFK and LaGuardia, okay, back when I was a teenager. I'm sorry, I'm just, you know, little redneck boy, never been there. But I love the idea. I love the idea.
Well, New York, I admit, New York does have its racial issues, but it's not as, you know, blatant, you know, because Howard Beach was not, you know, and what happened in Crown Heights, you know, 10, 15 years ago wasn't exactly racial tolerance, but, you know, for the most part, it's not Ann Coulter's world. And I don't know if she so hates liberalism, hates Jews, hates homosexuals. Move to Montana with the Unabomber already. Come on. You know, we don't need you. Without her.
There's another psychological side to that argument, though, Kevin, and that is that she doesn't really hate everybody that she says she hates. It's her shtick. Because if she had her way and she got that vision of heaven that she just described, she'd be out of work.
That, too, yeah. You know... Well, most conservatives are hypocrites, as you can see. A.K.A., you know, the Baptist minister from Alabama who was into water sports and all that other stuff. And Rush Limbaugh, who says drug addicts should be locked away or executed. And, you know, I can't point it out. And I was even discussing with my wife the other day how conservatives have a lot of self-hatred in them. They really do. You know, Ann Coulter, I think, besides, you know, I guess I would be angry if I had dubious sexual parts like she does, but she has a lot of self-hatred. She really does. And I don't get it. You know, why are you living in the two most liberal cities in the country, but yet you hate liberals? You know, again, leave. We don't need you. We don't.
No, we don't. And we don't need people in the rest of it. See, she... The passing reference, you know, all the focus on this comment is going to be about wanting the Jews to be perfected, and rightly so. But the stuff that went on before that, the business about how New York is basically best represented by Seinfeld.
Oh, God. That is so far. That is such a little niche, probably that covers a 3-block area. You know?
And, you know, nobody lives that way and doesn't go to work.
Yeah. You know, it's like Friends. You know, all these people live on the Upper West Side, but none of them work more than $10,000 a year.
Yeah.
You know? Those shows were totally unrealistic.
Yeah, the Friends people lived in a couple of darn nice apartments, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, you know. But the other thing, I also blame Donnie Deutsch, you know, who's another right-winger himself.
Yeah.
And to me, these right-wingers are like the Sith in Star Wars. You know, there can't be too many of them or else they start, you know, violating each other, start trying to kill off each other. And this is what was happening.
But
do you remember the
Star Wars? No, yeah, no, I get the analogy, but what? This is for some reason or other somewhere. Things don't just happen on network television, okay, or on cable television. Things are very calculated, and the minute that they decided to bring Ann Coulter on, well, you know, she's controversial. She'll be good for ratings.
Oh yeah.
You know, so I mean, and maybe I'm even contributing to it to a certain degree, because, you know, the next time you're flipping across and you see Donnie Deutsch there, maybe, you know, you will remember that Ann Coulter said the Jews need to be perfected on his show, and so you'll stop for a minute and become somehow or another a minuscule grain of sand in the Nielsen grand scheme of things that says that, you know, Donnie Deutsch.
I read my news, and I listen to Head On and a couple other liberal stations. I watch the BBC. You know, I don't fall for that game. You know, I get my news from legitimate sources now. You know, I'm sorry, Bob.
Okay, well, you know, you're immunized then. Others,
yeah.
Others aren't necessarily.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm still trying to give up the Today Show because I love Al Roker. You know.
Well, you know, we all have our bears to cross in life, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, I love Al Roker. You know, I say God bless him. But you know, as being part of GE, I'm that whole empire. I'm trying to give up the Today Show. But other than that, I kind of read and watch alternative news sources like Link Television, which is a very good station if you ever get it.
Yeah, unfortunately, our cable system is very antiquated here, so no. Yeah. But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But anyway, that's all I have to say. I don't want to take up too much time.
Okay, no worries.
I have to vent as a New Yorker.
Okay, well, you know, and thanks for the the New York state of mind, as Billy Joel would put it. I appreciate it because we need that. We need the cross cultural thing because if we're gonna build the dialogue, the rednecks have to start talking to the New Yorkers, and the New Yorkers have to start talking to the Californians, and somebody, for God's sakes, has got to talk to the people in Idaho.
Well, yeah, well, you know, this is why John Edwards has a chance in winning, because I don't think Mid-America is going to take too kindly to two New Yorkers running for president, Giuliani and Clinton. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I'm going to stay away from that because I'll burn all the bridges I've just tried to build.
Okay.
Kevin, thank you very kindly, and you have a wonderful evening, all right?
Okay, you too.
I'll
give you a call sometime during the week.
Okay, and thanks for dropping by the Cathedral of Common Sense.
Okay, bye.
Consider yourself absolved.
Bye.
Bye now. Come get your cracker right here at the Cathedral of Common Sense, the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah, I know. Must we talk to the Idahoans? Yes, we must talk to the Idahoans. We have to talk to the Kansans, too. Because there are good people everywhere in this country. Yeah, don't forget the wacky Hoosiers. Thanks, Poppy. But I understand what happens with Indianans now that I've ridden a train across Indiana. You know, it's 4 a.m. comes and the sun's up like high noon. Nobody gets any sleep there. You can't come up with any. It's like, you know, French politics. Anybody who thinks that a day can be started on a hard piece of bread and strong black coffee, you know, you're going to have some squirrely politics. Same thing with 4 o'clock. Oh, my God, I'm sleeping my life away. Let me get out and be conservative and till the earth and elect Dan Burton to the Congress. Brother. So, I mean, you see where we're going tonight. You see some of the stuff that we are, in fact, up against. We've got ministers in Alabama